Let us pray. Father, we thank you right now, Father, for this time. Thank you for this class of prayer. But most of all, we want to thank you for the apostle. We want to thank you for what we've learned tonight, Father. We want to just thank you for this grace, Father. We activate our lives right now. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to dab into two or three things tonight. But we're going to start off in chapter 9, the possibility of prayer. Now, that's what we're going to start off at, not going to cross where we're going to end. Amen. The possibility of prayer. You're going to see this again. Our author begins to explain, or start off by saying that it may be said with emphasis that no lazy saint prays. What you mean by that? There's no way possible that you can say that you are a child of God. There's no way possible that you can love God and not be a praying saint. Not going to happen. Now, it's very easy to go through prayer and make it a dull business. It's easy to do that. It's easy to pray in a decent, delicate way, he says, which is not heavy work. The Bible has a scripture that talks about how they pray with vain repetition. It's very easy to come to God and be elegant and quote real good scriptures and sound profound. I never forget one of the stories that Dad told. I never forgot about the man that prayed. They had one man who was a dignified man, wore a tailor-made suit, shoes were signed, hat cut to the teeth. Very dignified man. He began to read Psalms 23 as he went to his seat. And then they had another old fella, came there with old shiny suit on, shirt too little. You understand? He began to read Psalms 20, well, he began to talk about Psalms 23. And it stated that the people began to weep. But the dignified man could not understand why it wasn't. But if he read the Psalms, nobody moved. And it was told to him, he said, because you read the Psalms, but you knew the God of the Psalms. See, that's the difference in prayer. It's easy to come to God with scripture. It's easy to come to God to tell him what he said in his word. But do you know the God that you're praying to, the scripture that you're saying? And that's what he's saying, how prayer can become just a dull business. It's not something you can do just half-heartedly. You with me? I love this next statement. He said, but to really pray, you must pray until hell feels the pounding stroke. I love that. You must pray until hell feels the pounding stroke. For too long in the body of Christ, we've given the devil too much credit and too much power. Do you realize the prayer that we're talking about here? He says that when you begin to pray now, listen, I don't know if you've experienced an earthquake. I know you heard about it. But if you've experienced an earthquake, all the ground around you, the walls just begin to shake. It begins to tremble. All right? Well, the kind of prayer that we're talking about is that once you get into the presence of God, you learn how to pray and pray properly. See, now Satan and all of hell become afraid of you. Because now when you pray, they don't know when you're praying. Because they feel that power is true. They know something's going on. And they're going to think that you have been praying. Hallelujah, Jesus. You with me? He says, you pray until the iron gates of difficulty are open. Remember the song, remember the Acts, when Paul and Silas prayed? One of the key things the apostles always taught us was that when you teach the Bible, make it relevant to the daytime. You know, how does Daniel lie then be with me now? Well, we read that scripture in Acts all the time about Paul and Silas praying and how the gates were open. But listen to the statement and put it together. We must pray until the iron gates of difficulty are open. So now we read that now about the gate being open. It's not necessarily that a gate will open, which it can. But what he's saying is, a gate is anything difficult in your life. Then when you're on the pray now, that gate has to open. Remember I told you that when you get the presence of God, watch this here. All of heaven gets involved, storehouses are open now, God's hand is open to you. He says, we must pray until the mist of the veil and the clouds are lifted, and the sun found of cloudless day brightens. Now, listen to what he says. So this is hard work, but it is God's work and man's best labor. The best labor you can do is stay on your knees. Lord, it's not about how many Bibles you carry, how many doors you greet, how many people you have sent. No. The best labor that you can ever have to stand in the presence of the Most High God. Lift up his name, cry out to God. Causing things to happen off in the spirit realm, you see? It it may be difficult to wait and press and pray and hear a word, but you must stay there until God asks. I know some of you have been there. If you ever been a prayer before in your life, sometimes it seems as if when you pray, like may nothing happen. But I want you to say, God is constantly moving. God is constantly paying stuff for you. Do you see it? So you can't stop praying. You got to keep on praying. Even when it looks like ain't nothing happening, keep on praying. See, a lot of times we want to tell people, this is what you need to do, this is what you need to do. No, I got one word for you. Keep on praying. Well, I prayed about it. Well, keep on praying again. You can't make sure in 6 months later, I'm going to tell you, keep on praying. Because as long as you keep praying after God exists, you got the answer. You know, we do always quote it, we always talk about it, we go back to the old school. He may not come when you want him. But it's right on set. So you got to keep praying. Keep on praying. Lord Jesus. I mean, to tell somebody now, keep on praying. Your time may not be, he may not be acting right now. Keep on praying. The heaven may not be understanding you right now. Keep on praying. She may not be cooking the biscuits, man. Just keep on praying. I see you, Jesus. Just don't you still don't tell that mama. I don't say, good, baby, good. The joy of perfect prayer is like a pregnant woman giving birth to a child. I'm like, Pastor, I'm old school. I ain't going up in there. I went to the last time, I don't look. I said, on this side, over here, I don't want to keep nothing. You understand? But it's something about a woman that when she's giving birth, all those months, body changing, mood, and just all kinds of stuff happened to it. And I don't know why you won't do it again. Hallelujah. No, I think, see, this means you don't think we're going through some serious changes. It got to hurt. But the Bible, the obvious thing, he said, getting a prayer answered is just as simple as a woman giving birth to a child. Because after all that pain, after all that stress, after all that hurting, when that child comes forth, you say, Lord, thank you. That's how prayer is. Prayer is like, Lord, this is here. Lord, I'm going through. Grace. The fact is that grace. You're going through this. Lord, they want to have you. Lord, thank you. So the pain you went through, the trial you went through, it was all worth getting to that point to finally get that answer prayer. That's why you got to keep on praying and keep on praying and keep on praying. Listen, prayer does not stand alone. It is not an isolated performance. Remember we talked about last week that prayer and certain the word of God has to go together. I like this. It comes as a result, you heard the apostle use the word earlier, it comes as a result of a vigorous and commanding faith. Good Lord. What does prayer do? One thing prayer does, prayer honors God. You know the word honor, I like that word honor, we defined it a while back. It's something you consider weighty, heavy in your life. I say prayer honors God. If you ain't praying, you don't consider it heavy in your life. You don't consider it weighty. It becomes what the author begins to talk about in the beginning of this chapter. It becomes just a dull business. It becomes like just like brushing your teeth. You get something you got to do. I really don't want to brush. I'm brushing anyway. Yeah. See? Prayer acknowledges his being. It exalts his power, adores his providence, it secures his aid. I like this. Prayer, like faith, obtains promises. What's amazing? You can't hit that word faith again. So now you can put that together in your prayer life now. I see you put it together. Prayer, like faith, obtains promises. That's what prayer does. It enlarges their operation. Yeah. Yeah. It adds to the measure of their results. Yeah. Ah, so if I want a greater measure of result. I need greater prayer. So if I don't have great results, I ain't got great prayer. If I'm getting no results, then we're going to have little prayer. So depending on the measure of results you have, depending upon the level of prayer you have. Prayer opens up an outlet for the promise. Now, I like this last one here. It removes the hindrance in the way of their execution. It puts them into working order. So, in other words, they're ready before they give me what? So, anytime now the enemy tries to frame a weapon, now when I'm in prayer correctly, God will make sure that thing doesn't execute properly because I can have faith now and know that I don't think he's trying to do something. But if they begin to pray, God is going to turn this thing around and make it work for his good. See, we talked about it again. If they wouldn't have known who Jesus was, they would have crucified him. So they thought they were doing something to hate him. They thought they were trying to kill him, but they were really raising him up. See, if we put a prayer, thank you, yes, I want to get to something. The possibilities of prayer are found in its alliance with the purposes of God and God's purposes. And man's praying is a combination of all potent and impotent forces. Now, I'm going to make this statement because you're going to see this, and I'm going to get off with something we're going to deal with. Remember this statement. Elijah prayed over a dead child and came to life. What caused it? Prayer. I had to see that because I got to get to some stuff right here that ain't in your book. Because now we're going to deal with, when praying, understanding the value of praying, not just praying, but also praying in the Spirit. There's value in praying in the Spirit. Alright? One of the first thing it does is, when you begin to pray in the Spirit, it gives you energy. You start praying in the Spirit. Because sometimes, you're that natural man, and you just start praying. You know, it's kind of, long day, tired, Lord, thank you. It was a good day, Lord. I ain't cutting nobody out. Hallelujah, Jesus. But then when you start praying, you start getting the Spirit. All of a sudden, you start feeling something. You start giving energy. That's the Spirit, Lord Jesus. That's the Spirit beginning to move in you now, begins to stir fire within you. So what happens, you begin to pray, the value of one of the reasons praying the Spirit, but it gives you energy. It causes you to feel stronger. It turns into, I guess for lack of better words, from Captain to Superman. You start getting this energy about stuff because sometimes, I'm telling you, man, sometimes you have to get up in the Spirit to get yourself what you need to get. But naturally, you just can't get there. The second thing praying the Spirit does, it empowers you. The third thing, that's the only way you can begin by praying the Spirit, you will begin to exalt God. Because the Spirit will begin to start reminding you everything God has done for you. And when you start thinking about that, Lord, you just begin to exalt Him. You start thinking of greater things. The fourth thing praying the Spirit does, it creates enlightenment. Enlightenment. One, two, three, four, five. By praying the Spirit, it creates an expectation. I'm now expecting God to do something I cannot do on my own. I hear that word again. Grace. I'm a pound it, boy. I love it. Grace. Because, see, I see it now, Lord. You have, I see it. Because what happens is, a lot of times, I see now, we don't expect anything because we feel condemned about something we did. Yeah. Right. So now we get off through prayer, although we all pray in the Spirit, I don't feel like I can expect it because, Lord, I did this wrong. Encouragement. an experience. Right, yeah, 6 is encouragement, and 7 is experience. So we have energy, empowerment, exaltation, enlightenment, expectation, encouragement, and experience. I'm giving it to you because it's not in your book at all. All right, now let's look at, I'm going to give you some powerful things that praying in spirit does. Those are things that happen by praying in spirit, but I'm just going to tell you things that happen when you get off the spirit realm. Number one, it will release spiritual truth into reality. When you start praying in the spirit, it will release spiritual truth into reality. You'll start seeing things that you never saw before. See, that first thing you would not get, you would not, God would not show you unless you begin to pray in the spirit. Number two, when you pray in the spirit, you begin to edify yourself. Go to 1 Corinthians 14 so we can back it up. First Corinthians 14, verse 4. Look what it says. He that's speaking in over a tongue does what? He edifies himself. See, when you pray in the spirit, you begin to build yourself up. So, when you begin to build yourself up, now when you begin to pray, you can pray with more energy, more empowerment. You begin to have something about you that you normally wouldn't have when you just normally just pray. You see me? And that's when we begin to see God in ways that we never saw before. All right? The third thing it does, now you will know this automatically, it builds you up supernaturally upon supernatural faith. You know that, verse 20, building yourself up by doing what? Praying the Holy Ghost. You should be in the script, you see it should be there. This is number four. Number one was releasing the spirit truth into reality. Number two was edifying yourself. Number three was building up a supernatural upon supernatural faith. Now like this one. You begin to speak to God spirit to spirit. This is not regular conversation, man. This is not somebody you talking to on the telephone. You now, when you praying in the spirit or praying the Holy Ghost, you now have the ability, your spirit connected to God's spirit and give some answers. You right there, 1 Corinthians 14, look at verse 2. I told you it was, you have the ability now to speak God to what? Spirit to spirit. 1 Corinthians 14, 2. But he that's speaking in an unknown tongue, speaking not to me is better to who? Spirit to spirit. So no man understanding him by being the spirit, he's speaking what? Mystery. So when my spirit speaks to God's spirit, I'm hearing things that the other person can't hear. See, this is what happens all the time. This is what the prophet's trying to get us. This is why you can be in the middle of faith and you can be sitting beside somebody and the man of God or woman of God can say something and your spirit just leaks. Because you can make it with God, spirit to spirit, and pray to you, look at you, and he's been number great. They don't understand why you feel what you feel. Yeah. Because God is not a believer. You touch God, spirit to spirit. And when you do that, he can reveal mystery to you.
so he can say one more word. Father, that's why you don't stand the Father, man. He can just do one little thing. He said, God said, you made it to me. And all of a sudden, some people go crazy. And you know, some people bring it, other people go, oh, he said, well, three parts, that meant something to somebody in the spirit. And mystery was just was wonderful to somebody because they can't take it down, spirit to spirit. But so, God bless it. Hallelujah. That's a power. Hallelujah. Oh, either just a loose, thing. Number five. Now watch it. It sounds the same, but it's not. Paul was speaking God, speaking to God, spirit to spirit. Now watch the scripture. It sounds the same, but it's not. Now God speaking to me, spirit to spirit. It's not the same thing, but it's not. See, there's now, you can speak God, spirit to spirit, but when you are a prayer, and you send a prayer from God, watch what happens now. God can now call you in a carpet and begin to talk to you when you ain't talking to him. Because you're a prayer, he say, let me drop this carpet down over the house. Let me give them the answer to the problem before the problem even arises. Because I'm now to speak to him from my spirit to their spirit. I can drop the problem down. See, I don't know, anybody in the world who gets dropped the problem down, God been dropped the problem down. They talk about they got the drones, probably going to be driving taxes on. I'm kind of concerned about that, though. They better not be in the wrong place. Because I'm feeling anything, I'm telling you. Especially in Baton Rouge. Them pit bulls might get most of that thing. All right. Praying in the spirit. Number six. Now, that's what it does when you begin to pray in the spirit. I love this. Oh, I love this one. You begin to cut new paths. See, the apostle, he just said earlier, you know that we are now under the apostolic grace. Right? So what that means now, we take it all this, we won't be able to stand prayer. We won't take this prayer now. We learn about this prayer, power of prayer, putting it into place. And now, as we learn that prayer, putting it into place, we feel it. And we under the apostolic grace, we are now going to begin to cut paths that have never been cut before. We're going to do things other people never did. Yeah, I'm telling you, man. Some things that happen, you're going to be used in ways that you never thought you were going to be used. You're going to be the one to cut the path in your family, in your city, in your ministry, in your family. You understand? When you learn how to pray, we're talking about. Number seven, Lord help me. We will begin to invade the realm of the supernatural. You begin to invade the realm of the supernatural. And look, you got to see this. When you invade something, you take it over. I said you take it over. Remember, you look at the ladder. You're going up there and come from heaven, get down to earth. See, what is happening with the apostolic grace, on us, with the apostle saying the cross is hanging over his neck, that blood dripping. And we got this grace on us. We understand this truth now. And to understand that, he said, we evade the realm of the supernatural. All that stuff has been clogged up in the spiritual realm. All the revelation, all the mysteries, all the insight, all the manifestations. Because we understand now, when we invade the realm of supernatural, we're going to bring it back from heaven to earth. See, it's so much right now, this man, the only one that I'm trying to do is I'm going to invade the supernatural. Come on, we're invading it for them. Our situation is waiting on the manifestations of the sons of God. So when we invade the realm of supernatural, we bring it back to this earth to say, God over here. See, a synagogue is not about praying the Holy Ghost. You don't understand love, you don't understand grace, you don't understand it. But what you don't understand is your manifestation. Yeah. That now gives me an opportunity out there to become a better minister. Yeah. Because it ain't about what I have, it's about who gave it to me. Yeah. Man. I don't like this one too. I don't like it. I'm keep saying that. If I get the right time, I'm real good. I'm going to leave it at that. I don't know.
Watch this here. I say, after you were in the realm of supernatural, now you're praying in spirit. Now watch this here. When you're praying in spirit, pray properly. It will remove blind spots in the spirit realm.
I almost took off right there. I almost let you off in this room. Down the stairs I go.
See, because you gotta see that. Because it removes blind spots in the spirit realm. See, when you drive a vehicle, they say, check your mirrors because they have blind spots. I can't see. But they say if you buy them little things, you can go in your window and but if you take it, you put on your window, it'll show you your blind spot area. All right? But when you pray in the spirit will show you some blind spot areas. In other words, for example, it may be somebody you're talking to, you don't need to be talking to. It don't look bad to you. So you get up in the spirit room to get a place, the Holy Ghost will tell you.
Don't tell him what you're about to do.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, he's saying prayer. You just be listening. Okay, so Lord, I ain't gonna say nothing. Don't tell him you ain't got that job. See, the reason why you didn't get the job is you told her. Now she's back there with you.
See, so you can blind spot, man. You know, you meet that fella, don't tell him everything. Don't tell him what your bank account is like. Don't tell him, that's I ain't got no car. You got a car?
No, I ain't got one either. We can't.
He will move and put in the spirit realm. He will move to areas, see it down, but these are some things that's real life situations. So you would just pray and stay in the spirit with it, God will show you if you would have to go through that situation. But I told you earlier, he cannot release that to you unless you are praying for it.
Number 9 or whatever it is, y'all just keep up. I'm just going.
You must bring your spirit, bring it to the bottom line of trusting God. That it's the bottom line. The final thing is this, God, if you don't do it, it won't get done. I'm depending strictly upon you. See, we have a tendency sometimes to trust other people more than we trust God. Praying in the spirit, watch this here, will magnify the spirit realm. See, when I make things like that, I want you to imagine, hear the words, magnify the spirit realm. In other words, you know that big, when some women to put on that makeup, I saw one at a hotel not long ago, I didn't know what it was. I'm from the country. But they had a big old mirror in the bathroom, just big. Yeah, as a matter, I knew it was a magnifier to use for makeup, but I didn't know what it was. You know, the movie thing. You don't know what it was. Oh, okay, that's what it is. But it magnifies whatever was on the other side of it. When you pray the spirit, it'll magnify the spirit with it. In other words, certain little words that didn't mean nothing to you, now it's being magnified. Really? See, the first thing I said, but now it's being magnified. God, Jesus said all the time, "Oh, but now you put it in the back. Oh, I feel blood dripping out. I feel blood all over me. It's magnified. You understand? For goodness, look at all this sounds good, but now it's being magnified. Now, the son of Christ out here verified, well, he made him bad. But God said, you ain't forgive him. Can't forgive yourself. It doesn't matter. Okay, Lord, I got it. I forgive my Lord. Still things get magnified when you're in the spirit realm. And I guess what? A new ability of yieldness. Some things we didn't used to yield to, now we will. I know that the pastor, he always teaches, especially men of God in the ministry, he said, learn to yield to the Holy Ghost. That's one of the hardest things to do when you try to do something, you're in that place, you don't want to yield because you want to be in control. But the Spirit of God says, if you know how to pray, say, Father, God, the Spirit, there's a new ability of yieldness that'll get you. Some people don't understand how you yield to your men and women of God. Well, how do all that? Yeah, we yield to the Holy Ghost. You have to be yielded. Yeah, I see it. I had opportunity. I was released last week to go minister at his church at a special conference. And, yes, Lord. You were up to church a couple minutes, which I knew it was going to be. But then the pastor must have been standing behind me, because his spirit just took over, and everybody got blessed. Matter of fact, I got the church is calling me now. So, could you please come? I said, you got to talk to the pastor. It ain't got nothing to do with me, you know. So I said it to say this. So then I had a little panel after it was over with. I ain't going to stay, but I stayed. And a whole bunch of people sitting over there. You want to come? No, I won't sit up there. I'm going to tell you. And so one of the statements was, the man, this pastor, he was trying to be humble. You know, he was trying to be humble. He made a statement about, it was a miracle. But it was an obvious question for him. He was asking a question about submissive wives or something. Something happened. Oh, Lord, too. And he said, so the pastor said, huh? See, that's why when I go to one of my members' house, I tell him, well, don't you tell me first. No, Lord Jesus, that man might get mad. You tell him, because I don't want no trouble. All right. Then he went to his father, somebody in church, they go, oh, no, the church over, no, baby, you ain't got to stay here and help us. You go home, your hug. I said, all right. All right. But I found out, see, they don't understand because they're not praying the spirit properly, they're praying properly. They understand that yielding you need to have. Yeah. Because, they'll tell you, my wife, she's one of the men that served Pastor Dean, and when they got prosperity, robbery, whatever he is, sometimes they're there at 1, 2 in the morning. They'd knock yourself out. Pastor said, you spend the night, knock yourself out. I ain't got no problem. See, that's because I'm here to the Holy Ghost. See, you're not yielding, you can't handle it. You know what I'm saying? How does that pass? You don't even, but if you ever did come to my house, don't take care of the man of God. But it's Bible. Because the one where my son died, she's going to come to heaven and son died. I said, David, come pray for our son. She said, no, where the man of God is? That's the devil of honor. I can see right now, he's at 2013, about to be 2014, and I see him now. And the woman needs healing, delivered. And he got me a large child, tell him to feed you first. No, Lord, I can't do that, baby. You're still going to eat first. I eat what y'all got left. That ain't what God says, man. See, you got to understand. You can't do it, though, unless you understand the new ability of willingness. It don't be little me because I'm not here, but you serve the man of God first. That builds me up. The God man is the coach energy thing. You understand kingdom willingness without being feeling belittled by another man. He the reason why I may be here. I can hear him. Let's finish this out. You will get a bonus to its highest degree. Very long if you become bold. The turkey didn't leave that giveaway by five to. You said, I pray. I told him, oh, I'm good. I didn't pray. I prayed too. I sure did. I did that, but took a long time. I sure did that. Yeah! I'm in the house. You mean no turkey? In the money. No. Lord, I'm just playing right now. No, I ain't. No, but look. Let's put this thing out. When you pray in the spirit, you also, watch this here, you will enter into a supernatural rest. Lord have mercy. Can't just come out no rest. You will enter into a supernatural rest. That no matter what you're going through, but after I pray and got up, I know I'm going to sleep. See,
see that type of supernatural work, let's be honest, we can have a band, we can have a band, we can pray about, but you know, like light bulb burns and good, the air holes, you know what I'm saying? I should have said this, I should have. You just got mad. You took it like it's over. So you still said that word. Pause in the turn. We're going to be able to drink some water, I said that. Let me watch a little TV. I'm going to go to sleep. Answer that supernatural rest. You also will receive a supernatural refreshing. A supernatural refreshing. Pastor did a series on this a while back, and I like this. You will begin to birth things in the spirit. You want to happen? You make it happen. Stop waiting on somebody else. Pray God's word, get in his presence, and watch him with him all night long. Yes. I told you, keep praying. You have the right to birth things in the spirit. We went back. I think it's in there. Where we talked about how prayer changed God's mind. God wanted to destroy some things, destroy some people. I began to pray, and God said, because I found a praying person, I'm going to change my mind. What happens is, you can birth things in the spirit now when you pray properly. You can create that thing. Now, watch what I like to say to you. You will also have ability to curse things in the spirit. Because what happens is, God will show up to you. Maybe he will visit to you. Now you see, you don't just see it and say, okay, Lord, thank you for showing it to me. No! Because you see it, say, what you do? Put your hand on it. So in the spirit when God showed it to you, and he will do it to you, I bind it in the name of Jesus. Right, right. And you, God, in the same my direction, and he will say, touch my heart. If I touch my child, if I touch my family, I'll point it back to the picture there for which it comes. Because he showed it to you. You have that ability. And I'm going to finish with this. You have the ability to speak mystery and receive the understanding of those mysteries. Speaking mystery and receive understanding of mysteries. No, I got one more. When you pray and speak, you have the ability to obtain hidden wisdom. There's some wisdom that's hidden that only true prayer can get. This is what the Apostle Paul says. These are things that are going to set us apart in ministry. Because there are going to be some people, some situation ministry that need an answer that only prayer will get. Some of your pastors in here, there's some things, there's some decisions you might need to make the next year or so. Start praying. And God will give you hidden wisdom. See, he'll show you in there. When you're a key leader, you got to duck out of it. That's how I'm trying not to replace it. And you say, but no, Lord, they've been there 15 years. They ain't going nowhere. They good. They ain't giving no problems. Lord, okay. So now when it happened, now you all discombobulated, don't know what to do. When the Lord told you 2 months ago, but you didn't want to get nobody to start helping because you think you're gonna make them mad because somebody else doing their job. I see that one man a little bit of time. He don't care who don't like it. Hallelujah. I'm in the headlong. All right. Look at me for. Merry Christmas. See you next year. Go home. <on. laughs> He said, get put out of your way, then. Thank you.